This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The presidential campaign speech is a staple of American democracy. Harry Truman preached to crowds from the back of a train, even dealing with the occasional heckler, as did the first President Bush in 1992 when a man dressed as a chicken would show up at campaign stops to try to bait the then president into debating Bill Clinton. Today, campaign events are far more staged, screened, and sanitized, as NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
The American ideal of persuasion through speechifying is a staple of the movies, as in this scene from All the King's Men.
I'm going to stay in this race. I'm on my own and I'm out for blood. Now listen to me, you hicks.
In today's presidential campaign, particularly at Bush events, there is no need to persuade doubters because they aren't there. Dana Milbank covers the White House for The Washington Post.
There has been tremendous effort to crack down, particularly on the Republican side. They've actually had the equivalent of a loyalty oath. You actually have to sign stating your support and that you don't mind your name being used as a supporter before you're allowed to be in it.
Though the Kerry campaign, like the Bush campaign, requires tickets to get into the fenced area at rallies, there appears to be far less effort at controlling the views of those in attendance. Indeed, Kerry ruefully acknowledges the presence of his detractors.
I want to thank George Bush for sending the goons here tonight to excite us to do a little more work.
Dr. John Prather, a math professor at Ohio University, tested the two campaigns' reactions to dissent. With tickets in hand, he attended a Bush rally wearing a Kerry T-shirt and was refused entry. Then he tried with a neutral T-shirt. He says he was recognized and asked to leave. In contrast, says Prather, when he wore a Bush T-shirt at a Kerry rally,
nobody said anything to me.
Bush campaign chairman Ken Mellman denies any political filtering of crowds. Yes, he says, volunteers tend to offer tickets first to Bush supporters, but
the crowds aren't screened. We love the fact that these events are usually huge. We certainly welcome very much folks that want to listen to what the president has to say, regardless of their affiliation, regardless of who they intend to support.
We asked the Bush campaign if they had names of people kept out of Kerry rallies in the last 6 months. The campaign provided one name, and she did not return calls. In contrast, there are lots of people who've complained about being kept out of Bush rallies, even high school students. At Lee Summit High School in Missouri, school officials let class out so students could attend a Bush rally at the high school stadium, which had been rented by the Bush campaign. According to school officials, the campaign ordered the removal of some students because they had Kerry campaign buttons on. A spokesman for the school district did not return calls, but there were reports of youngsters in tears at the event. Adults interviewed by NPR in other locations were only marginally less upset. Kathy Mead, a high school teacher in Traverse City, Michigan, identifies herself as a registered Republican who, though leaning towards Kerry, was excited to go hear the president. On her way into the event, Mead says, she bought a small Kerry sticker and put it on her lapel. But as she entered the second security ring, she was told she had to take it off.
I said, really? In a democratic society, shouldn't I be able to wear the sticker? And at that point, someone else came over and immediately started ripping up my ticket and ripping up my sticker and telling me I had to leave immediately.
Mead says she was appalled.
I have had Protestant and non-religious students that I've taken to St. Peter's Square in Rome to get the papal blessing. Can you imagine if they said, we're sorry, only Catholics in good standing can come in to see the Pope and receive his blessing?
Barbara Miller of Midland, Michigan, calls herself a swing voter who's voted for both Republicans and Democrats for president. In August, she got tickets to go to a Bush rally with her husband and daughter. But Miller had on her arm a pro-choice shirt.
They said, no, we don't let any pro-choice non-Republican paraphernalia in this event.
Miller put the shirt on the table and went in without it. But close to the time the president was to arrive, she says, the same man who'd stopped her at the door came over and ordered the family to leave.
We said, no, we're here to see our president. We're, you know, just dumbfounded. They said, well, if you don't leave, we're going to have to call Secret Service and then you will be put in jail.
Tim Walz also ran into trouble. Walz, a veteran high school teacher and returning guardsman from Operation Enduring Freedom, took the teenage sons of a fellow teacher to a Bush rally in Mankato, Minnesota. But at one of the screening points, the boys were stopped.
And the boys pulled out a billfold, and one of the boys had a faded John Kerry sticker on it. And at this point, they told the boys that they had been flagged by the Secret Service as being a threat, and they were not welcome, and they would get back on the bus and leave.
Waltz intervened, showed his ID and ticket, and said he could vouch for the boys.
They said, well, we're sorry, but by association, you too have been deemed a threat by the Secret Service.
Jason Nelson is an iron worker who's a first-term county supervisor in Appleton, Wisconsin, and was invited as a VIP to a nearby Bush rally in Green Bay. He says he'd been to a small Kerry rally earlier in the day and covered up his Kerry T-shirt with a denim long-sleeve shirt to go to the Bush event. When a security search revealed the T-shirt underneath, however, he was, like the others, turned away and threatened with arrest when he protested.
You would have thought that I was like one of the biggest terrorists that there was.
Nelson says he was directed to a Secret Service agent.
And then he showed me his ID, and then I showed him my driver's license. And at that point, I was telling him, what's going on? Was this illegal to have this T-shirt on or what? And they said, oh, no, we do this for everybody. You just can't be here.
So just what is the role of the Secret Service in carrying out such political crowd cleansing? None, says Deputy Assistant Secret Service Director Andrew Wirtz.
The Secret Service has a longstanding policy of recognizing the constitutional protected rights of the public to demonstrate and voice their views to their elected officials.
Even hecklers are protected, says Wirtz. But he does acknowledge that when someone is ordered out of an event by an event staffer, that individual may be briefly questioned to make sure he or she poses no threat. ACLU attorney Chris Hansen says the bottom line is that the threat of arrest is being routinely used this year to keep people out of Bush rallies.
The local police force usually say the feds made us do it. The feds usually say it's not our fault, the local police did it. Now, whether it is the Secret Service or whether it is the White House advance team, it seems unquestionably the case that the federal government is making the ultimate decisions.
That scenario is well illustrated by the case of Jeff and Nicole Rank, who went to a presidential event in Charleston, West Virginia on July 4th. And when they unveiled T-shirts that indicated their opposition to the president, they were told to leave. When they refused, they were handcuffed and jailed for 2 hours. Eventually, the charges against them were dropped, and the mayor and the city council apologized. The mayor told NPR that the police had been acting at the direction of the Secret Service. The police chief said his officers had acted at the direction of the White House. Legal experts agree that at a campaign event paid for by the campaign, event sponsors can keep out anyone they wish. But at a presidential event paid for by the taxpayers, an event like the one attended by the Ranks, the Constitution protects the public's right to attend and express themselves. In a larger sense, though, when a presidential candidate comes to a town to appear in a venue where thousands can see and hear him, isn't that, too, something of a public event?
It's a terrific, romantic, old-fashioned notion of politics.
But, says the Washington Post's Dana Milbank, that's not what these rallies are about.
They want to have television shots of roaring, delighted crowds cheering for the president. That's all staged from the start.
The other function of the campaign rally and campaign events now is to preach to the converted.
George Edwards is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the George Bush School of Government at Texas A&M University. But democracy, he says, is premised on more. It's premised on competition and persuasion.
And what campaign events and rallies now are designed to do is take the competition out of the election and make it quite one-sided. I think that that's a loss to public discourse and a loss to American democracy.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.